Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
And I'm Matthew Elliott.
And that little slurp that you heard meant that we are joined by the vegan. He's back. How you doing, Dave?
Drinking tea. Evening.
So, we didn't record last week because...
Or the week before.
So the week before you were ill, and then last week you were on a jolly.
It wasn't a jolly. I was at a 3-day sales meeting, and the night we were going to do it, I'd played football with the work lot, and then I went out for dinner afterwards, and it would have been too late to do it by the time I come back. I didn't realise I was going for dinner.
How many sales did you make, importantly?
During the sales meeting, none at all. I was being told how to do sales, apparently.
Piss up then.
Yeah. No, I went to a... I didn't realise I was going out for dinner after the football. The plan was for me to come back to the hotel room and obviously do the podcast. And then I was told, oh, we're going out to a restaurant for something to eat. I'm like, right, okay. So I went to a nice Palestinian place in Wilmslow. I had a mixed grill, a massive mixed grill. Dave would have been appalled.
Sure there was a vegan option.
Yeah, they did do salad, actually. Yeah, yeah.
At least you're embracing it now. So we would have games to talk about that we've been to and enjoyed.
Yes, but very much.
Yeah.
Two of the best games that we would have been to and enjoyed.
Yeah.
Meaningless now.
We had a 4-0 in there as well. In the games that we haven't talked about.
Well, 4-1,
I'm counting it as a 4-0. And from now on, my predictions... we've scored 4 goals. I'm happy. So we can move on from that. I can actually make proper predictions now. But the big news... we're going to be hearing a lot more of this.
Have we got a sweepstake going on how many we're actually going to have in the first moment?
There you go, he's finished.
We need a sweepstake on how many there are in the foot. You know, we need to not only be predicting the results of games, but predicting the number of ends.
Well, I think we could do the predict the number of ums in tomorrow's press conference. Maybe.
Let's do that at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first and foremost, disappointed with the initial sacking. Not shocked, because obviously it's probably always been on the cards at some point. The timing of everything seems, from the outside, probably quite poor. Where we are on the table, last 2 wins, etc., etc. But ultimately, the board wanted their own man, and things conveniently all fell into place during the international break. Mr. Rooney was relieved of terminated his contract, mutual consent at DC, and was suddenly available.
Mox put out a video, Neil Moxley put out a video, didn't he? And I think he said that it was, I mean, we knew that Rooney was in the, in their sights, within their targets a little while back. But Mox said something that obviously made sense, that once that season finished, there's no compensation to pay. He's a free agent. And when you look at it, it does make sense from that regard. Obviously, on the back of a couple of wins, a couple of good wins as well, 7 goals in 2 games, looking very good, that we've taken that opportunity to get rid of him. We could have been, 15th or something. We're actually 6th in the table.
The way the way it was handled, the statement that went out, I thought was quite poorly poorly worded, and has had a bit of a dig at Eustace. And it's that's disappointing, because the board or the new owners have done so much good work since coming in, trying to rebuild the club. Eustace has given us some stability and some consolidation regards to the playing side. But on the pitch, in my opinion, things were moving in the right direction. We were developing a style of play that was more attractive than previous seasons. Maybe that wasn't as developing as quickly as the board or the owners wanted it to. I'm just saying, we're going to hear it a lot. We've heard it a lot already, but we were in the top six, but we were in the top six on merit. And with a bit more luck, could have been a little bit higher up. Of course, that could also work the other way around. We could have been bottom half of the table. So for all the people on the outside that look at this and think of sort of like scratching their head, like, why have they done this? You can completely understand it from that point. And that's kind of where I have been for the last few days as well. I won't make any bones about that.
Well, before we go into it any further, we've put out there for some 15-second opinions, so let's have a listen to them.
15-second opinion.
I don't really have an opinion on Rooney, but we'll all have one after the next five games, which on paper are very, very tough, and I think the board have put him under pressure from the fans very early on. So hope it works out. Good luck to him and up the Blues.
Hi, lads. Hope you're all well. Obviously, I'm disappointed for John Eustace. He was doing a decent job. I'm not too downhearted that he's gone, to be honest. I'm looking forward to the Wayne Rooney era. Everyone talks about, he's only got 28% win ratio or whatever it is. But they don't tell you that at Derby, he took over a team minus 21 points and came close to keeping them up. Beat Blues 4-0 along the way. Played some good football with a far inferior squad than what he's inheriting at Blues. So, I'm just looking forward to seeing what happens, really. He's a big, big name. He was one of my idols as a player. I know his playing achievements don't count for much when he's in the dugout, but I'm interested to see how it goes, and I'm going to back him to the hilt. So let's get behind him. Up Wayne Rooney's Blues. Keep right on.
Gutted for John. Think he deserved a little bit better, probably till Christmas, but understand probably this come as results determined from the Watford game, Norwich game, Preston game. Excited in the direction that the club want to go as a whole. Rooney wouldn't have been much first choice, but you've got to back the manager now and just get beyond him. Up the Lazar ball, up the Blues. Keep right on, lads.
York lads, Chris O'Brien here. I'm not surprised by Eustace going or the sacking. I'm not surprised by Rooney. I know it was meant to happen a few weeks ago, and we won two on the bounce, so it looks a bit weird to the public. Everyone's saying that we're in sixth place, what are Birmingham doing? We're actually a loss from being probably in the 15th. So it's a bit strange with the way public are putting this. However, I'm excited. It's the new revelation of the Blues, and bring it on. Come on, Wayne Rooney, up the Blues, keep right on.
All right, lads, my 50p, it was disappointing to lose Eustace, but a bit of time and perspective. We're not actually doing quite that well yet. So I'm looking forward to our Champions League run in 3 years' time. Up the Rooney.
when you put it that way, yeah, we're not doing that well because we're not in the Champions League. Like, yeah. But I think we've been having a good season. There was one in there that probably pinpointed pretty much how I felt when it happened, and probably still feel now, to be fair, when we got wind of it that it was happening, I was disappointed for Eustace. I thought he's done a good job this season. I don't think he deserved to get sacked. We said earlier in the season when we were talking about it that unless we're in a shit position, he's earned that right to be manager, head coach. We'll mention that later.
We'll get on to that. Yeah.
I think he'd earned the position. And this season, we've been playing some good stuff. We've been getting some good results. There's been the odd game where he hasn't been as positive, but with the stuff that's gone on with injuries and stuff, I think he's done a great job to be sitting sixth place with nearly a quarter of the season gone. I thought he'd done a good job. Disappointed that they chose that time to do it on the back of a couple of good wins. Confidence is going to be high at that point. And to be honest with you, not completely convinced that Rooney is the man to bring in and do a job. I'm not convinced by him as a manager at all. Yes, he was a fantastic name when he was a player.
One of the best, probably.
Yeah. And for like when he went to Derby as a player coach, he was playing in the Championship as Wayne Rooney. Fantastic. I'm not utterly convinced by him, and I'm not totally convinced that he's going to do a job for Blues. But he's at Blues. At this point now, Eustace is in the past. We've got to move forward. We've got to support what's going on down at the club and hope that it works out. Whether we're sceptical about it or whether it's not the guy that we take, we've got to give it every bit of support that we can and just hope that it's a gamble that pays off.
Yeah, no, I get where you're going. There's a couple of people there mentioned the results against Norwich and Watford and not winning for a few games. But the more I've had time to think about it, and the less I think it has to do with those results or even with John Eustace. So that talk about not being aligned, he was always probably, a dead man walking. He probably knew that as well. The fact that he held that together for such a long time and got the team performing in such a manner to have us that high up the table deserves some credit. He's given Rooney a very good platform foundation to build from. They've got a good squad there that, you know, Rooney can utilise. Ultimately, as I say, they wanted their own man. They wanted somebody with a bigger profile, someone bigger than little-known John Eustace. I think it probably would have happened if we were in the top two, to be perfectly honest. That would have set the cat amongst the pigeons, I think. But as I said, thought the statement was pretty classless. It was a pretty aggressive way to kick a guy in the ribs who was already rolling around on the floor. And whilst I understand why they want to do this move, why they want to make the move, for me, this is the type of thing that we mentioned at early doors when they took over and Cook came in, that I was afraid that Cook, the CEO, would do. It'd make a rash. I've heard the word ruthless so many times, but okay, maybe it is ruthless, but this is a sort of move that I think was completely driven by him. Wagner, I think, obviously signed it off, but make no mistake, the guy behind this all was Cook, and it was probably down to a very, very good relationship that he's got with Wayne Rooney's agent, Paul Stretford. This was probably decided a couple of months ago on a golf course or in a fancy wine bar somewhere in Manchester. You know, I get it. Like, Cook wanted to bring in his own person. Wagner probably, you know, put a lot of trust in Cook. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made him the CEO. So he's going to trust his judgment being a football guy. Doesn't make the whole process any better. So it's not like they've been searching high and low for a new manager, head coach to take over from Eustace. This was probably agreed during a chat between mates, and then somehow they've got to this moment, made the move, and this is where we are now.
And it coincides perfectly with the end of the MLS season, or DC anyway.
For DC, yeah.
Yeah. So the end of Rooney's contract, free agent, perfect timing. Yeah, we'll do that. Now, we obviously, we were discussing it in the week that, last week, that there was a meeting on, was it Monday? We were told that there was a Zoom call. That, as it pans out, was probably a meeting about management and whatnot. we didn't find out what was going on. But you'd expect that between the Huddersfield game and the West Brom game that Eustace has known about the moves that are going on. And on Friday against West Brom, I mean, the reaction, it very much looked as if you could tell. I think I messaged into the group that we've got, the WhatsApp group that we've got, and said that you could see that something was something seemed off. And when you find out, then it just you can see why. Dave, we'll come to you on it. What are your thoughts on it?
I think there's just been this inevitability about it. I mean, when don't new owners come in and want to put their own stamp on things, their own person in charge? I think probably we all knew that this was inevitable at some point. It's it's the optics of it coming off a fantastic two games, which I say is unfortunate. It's not unfortunate because we got 6 points out of it. It's just a name which, you know, again, we'd heard it rumored, and you kind of just hope, you know. Of course, we got to back him now, but you hear about it, you hope maybe it's not. You get a couple of wins, you think, oh, everything's actually all right, isn't it? And then it just feels like another, you know, another blow, doesn't it? But there's been quite an interesting, I don't know, you know, if you check the reactions which people have had, he's getting, you know, despite it being a controversial decision, a controversial appointment, there's a lot of people that are saying, like, you know, we're backing him, we've got no choice but to back him, and actually, let's get behind him. And, you know, as fans, I think we can, you know, it's our right to sort of, you know, be vocal about what we think about things. It's arguably all we've got, you know, to approve or disapprove and stuff like that. And but actually, you know, now we've just got to get behind them. You said, you know, we've got these difficult run of games, which is going to be tough for him. What is it? It's Middlesbrough, Hull, Southampton and Ipswich. And
one more. It's five. The first five is like a
Middlesbrough, Hull, Southampton, Sunderland, yeah.
Sunderland. There you go.
And then we'll have Sheffield Wednesday, their first win of the campaign. they'll be the, you know, should be Sheffield Wednesday that cost Rooney his job.
Can you imagine that? Talk about ruthless.
Yeah, I was going to say they've been ruthless, haven't they? So if you get off to a terrible start and you lose all of them, you'd be thinking you're fucked. There's a three and a half year contract there. How much of that 3.5 year contract is going to be paid out if it goes tits up?
It's true. There's a lot of pressure on him. I think ultimately, like, we maybe don't know what he's been tasked with this season. I think it's easy for us to say, well, he's got to make the playoffs.
We do know he's been tasked with a winning mindset that's aligned with the values of the club.
Yeah, which makes me laugh, actually. So
does that actually mean just top off the table?
Pretty much.
When they say that Eustace and the club weren't aligned, I'm like, what was he doing then? Why was he here in the first place? If they weren't aligned, like, obviously he wanted to win games and make Birmingham City as good as they could possibly be. I know he wanted more organic growth in the style of play, because he knows that you can't just flick a switch and suddenly start playing like this expansive possession-based game. He was probably more realistic about the way he wanted to develop the team and the style of play, and they had other ideas. Maybe he mapped it out and it was too long, but ultimately, I don't think this alignment thing with Eustace is just nonsense. We've said already, they just wanted their own man. They've got Wayne Rooney off the back of two very good wins for Blues. Currently, the PR side of things looks fucking awful, but in about a month's time, or maybe even sooner than that actually, maybe in a couple of weeks' time, it's all going to be Wayne Rooney. It's already started actually. Sky Sports, backs of newspapers, there's going to be so much media attention on Birmingham the first few games. Some of it could end up being negative, but there's going to be not just British TV. It's going to be global.
And that's a really good point.
They've probably got that in mind as well.
If Wagner's talking about making Birmingham a global name, a global brand, we are on the front of newspapers. We are on the back of newspapers. People are talking about, Birmingham.
He's got 17 million followers on Instagram, right? That is a big deal for people like them, apparently. Yeah, he's a global superstar. John Eustace is known in Solihull. I didn't mean that in a disrespectful way at all. I've got a lot of respect for John Eustace.
Like a PE teacher, a lot, and I think from Solihull.
That was fucking outrageous. I was very unhappy about that comment, actually.
let's not go there.
We won't go there.
But where we can go is where Eustace may be off to next. Ainsworth can't have long left at QPR, I think.
That's a good shout.
You think he'd be a sensible move there, there?
Commuting, though, because he wouldn't move before, would he? He was commuting.
If they allow him to commute, which they might do, and the fans would be the QPR fans would be behind Eustace and that coaching setup. I think it wouldn't surprise me. I think that is a very good shout. He won't be short of suitors. I think there'll be numerous clubs in the Championship that will fancy taking a punt on him. I don't think Swansea fans are particularly happy with it's Michael Duff that's there, isn't it, at the moment? And yeah, Ainsworth can't have much longer left there. Sheffield Wednesday might fancy him, but would he want to go to that sort of a basket case club? Well, he's been at one before, I suppose.
Time will tell. Right, I'm pleased to say that we're now joined by Ben from Blues Breakdown. Hi, Ben. How you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me back on. How is everyone?
Yeah, good, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you.
First things first, how are you dealing with it?
You mean which stage of grief am I at?
Yeah,
I'm certainly at acceptance at the moment. I think, I've been a fan of Eustace. I think some of the tweets that I put out over the last couple of days probably reflect that I think he's probably been partially dealt with. Wasn't a big fan of the statement that the club put out. I think a little bit disrespectful to the job that he's done. I think Gary Cook's following statement probably amended a little bit of that. It was a line in there about Wagner saying that they wouldn't have invested in the club had we been relegated, and that was down to Eustace and his team, which slightly makes amends for it. But I think I'm beginning to understand, I think, the rationale behind it, even if I don't necessarily agree with it. But certainly at the stage now where, Rooney's come in, so it's time to get behind him.
I think we have already sort of mentioned that earlier on about all the points that you've made pretty much about the statement, and now obviously moving on to getting on with it and supporting him.
Even the second statement, the letter from Gary Cook was still a handful of thinly veiled digs at Eustace, and then still sort of trying to fluff it up with Wagner said that we wouldn't have bought the club had you not kept them up.
It was better though. It was, considering that they were going to make no further comment after the first one, to then make another comment.
That was one of the best lines, isn't it? How many hours after making...
He's basically seen the fallout online and said, shit, we better do something about this. I wasn't expecting this.
Because that entire first statement just smacked of a statement that a press team were told to put out, we're not going to take your input or views on this. This is what is going out. You're going to put it out whether you like it or not. And then, unsurprisingly, it goes down terribly. And then you're forced into making a second statement.
Pretty much. Anyway, Ben, we've got you on for a reason. Analytics,
yes,
and data. So can you tell us where the best hotspots for granny shagging brothels are in Birmingham, please? Have you got the data?
Do we have more than Washington and Derby per square meter? Square mile, sorry.
I'm not sure that's available on FP Ref.
Are the stats in terms of, you know, how many pints from Wetherspoons you need to have to look like Rooney on any given morning? He just looks like he's constantly being on a on a 12-hour bender.
Off the scale. Yeah, I can't wait into Rocket with his lollipop. anyway, serious questions then. Chewy.
Go on.
I guess quite simply, I've had a quick look at some of the formations he's used, and it seems to be he played very similar 4-2-3-1 quite a lot at Derby. I haven't looked too much into the DC stuff. I'm just keen to know sort of what have you picked up in terms of formations he's played, style of play? Has it been possession-based? I know he didn't have a particularly strong squad at Derby, but just keen to get your thoughts on what you've gleaned from the information that you've researched.
Yeah, no worries. We'll start with formations, and you're right, yeah. Derby predominantly used a 4-2-3-1. I say predominantly, I think it was the most used formation around about 50% of the time that he was there. Also, you know, variations on that as well, 4-3-3, 4-1-4-1, 4-4-1-1. But he wasn't against using a back three. Looking a bit deeper into it, it looked like he used a back three against teams whose managers predominantly favoured a back three. So thinking Valerian Ismail at Barnsley and West Brom, Carlos Corbram at Huddersfield, Gary Rowett at Millwall. So it seemed to be whenever he predicted the opposition to line up with a back three, he would match them. Onto his spell at DC United in the MLS, pretty much an even split between playing a back four and a back three. Started out when he first went in playing a 4-3-3, also a 4-4-2. Then switched it up to a back three, which I think the previous manager at DC United had used. And then towards the end of the MLS season this year, he's been playing a kind of a narrow 4-3-1-2, so that diamond in midfield.
Okay.
So he's not particularly wedded to a particular, you know, a certain formation. I think probably what's a little bit more evident is how he wants the team, how he wants his teams to play, both in possession and out of possession, regardless of the formation. Having had a quick look over the last couple of days, it's very much a style building from the back. It's a very modern style. So he wants his teams to play out from the back. Goalkeeper is very, very heavily involved in that as well. So the keeper at DC United, Tyler Miller, had the most passes of any goalkeeper in the MLS, and their second choice keeper, Alex Bono, had the third most. And that was also evident when he was at Derby as well. So Ryan Alsop had the most passes of any goalkeeper in the league in that 2021-22 season. So they almost become an 11th outfield player, the keeper. What Rooney teams will look to do is fairly patient possession at the back with the centre-backs and the goalkeeper involved quite heavily. They'll wait for the opposition to press, and then they'll look to move the ball forward quite quickly and fairly directly as well, either into one of the forward players. So at DC, he's had Christian Benteke, who is used as a target man, or out to the wide players, either the wingers who look to come inside, or the fullbacks who push on quite high. They tend to bypass the midfield in terms of that build-up play. And then the aim, essentially, when they're in possession of the ball, is to get the ball out wide, create overloads. You're trying to create situations where you've got 2v1 out wide, and then it's getting balls into the penalty area. So in the MLS season just gone, DC United had the fifth highest amount of crosses and passes into the penalty area per 90 minutes. They, and that's not necessarily crosses and passes in terms of trying to, you know, the old cross it in for the big man in the middle to head home. That's probably more cutbacks and balls into the box to create shooting opportunities. What I will say is it probably hasn't proved as fruitful as Rooney would have liked. They've got the seventh highest number of shots per 90 in the MLS this season. But their goal scored is very much mid-table. The XG they're creating, so the quality of the chances they're creating is very much kind of middle of the road, and very similar actually to what Blues have been creating under Eustace. Just another one I picked out as well, probably to back up this point around the lack of quality chances they're creating. 42 big chances this season, which puts them 21st in a 29-team league.
So based on what you were saying there about getting balls into boxes, do you think that there's a door opening for Duke here?
Potentially. I mean, yeah, if you look at, you know, you look at how he's used Christian Benteke at DC United as that target man type, and they've played into him and then off him. And similarly, he had Colin Kazim Richards at Derby whilst he was there. So similar, you know, not quite in the traditional target man role, but or target man profile, sorry. But yeah, that type of player. I think it'd be interesting. I think, you know, he's going to have to, until January, he's going to have to play with Scott Hogan, Lukas Djukovic and Jay Stansfield, essentially. So I think they will all get opportunities. So there's no reason why we couldn't. As I say, I don't necessarily think that crosses into the box and pass into the box necessarily mean headed goals.
With you said about sort of them being sort of middle of the road with bits, and then being sort of the lower echelons in terms of a quality of chances created, or maybe I've got that the wrong way around. Would you say that's actually down to the quality of player that Rooney had to work with?
I mean, it rings true for both his time at DC United and at Derby County. So the attacking numbers when he was at Derby and the season they got relegated were particularly poor. Again, it's really difficult to know because...
Surprising that with Louis Sibley, isn't it? Also, nailed on Rooney's first signing in January.
Yeah. Scored last night, didn't he?
He scored two, I think.
Did he? Yeah. Is it two? I saw that he'd scored. He's been... not used particularly often, I don't think, by Paul Warne. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to tell because, I think, you know, a lot has been made of that Derby squad that he had. You know, they were under transfer embargo for a long period. They were, you know, restricted to signing frees and loans. There was a massive imbalance of age within the squad, you know, with real youngsters and academy products and some veterans in that team. So it certainly wasn't the highest quality squad in the world, albeit Tom Lawrence was a decent attacking threat. And I don't pretend to know a huge amount about the players he's had to utilise at DC United, although Christian Benteke, I think, is about the third or fourth top scorer in the MLS with 14 goals.
I'd noticed he'd scored quite a few. I think he scored a hat-trick a few weeks ago, I think I'd seen. Or maybe even four in one game, actually.
So, I mean, there's every reason to believe that, you know, with the group that he's got at Blues will certainly, in my opinion, I think would be the best quality group that he's had to work with so far in his career.
And he has been thrown into quite difficult situations, I guess, in both scenarios. DC United are hardly one of the high profile MLS teams. And obviously the issues that he faced at Derby, I think you're probably right there in terms of this is probably the best group of players he's had to work with. Knowing what you know about our squad, our team, and the way you've sort of been talking to us about how he's set up, what do you expect him to do with us? What's your gut feeling from an analytics point of view? What do you expect to see from him short term and moving forward?
I wouldn't be massively surprised to see him keep the 4-2-3-1 to begin with. It's clearly a system that Eustace and the coaching team have been drilling the side in for the, you know, since pre-season and throughout the season so far. And it's, you know, it's a formation that Rooney himself has used at Derby and at DC United. So it's not something that he's wholly unfamiliar with. I think at the moment it probably suits us. But I wouldn't be surprised to see us move to fairly quickly, potentially, a 4-3-3, and have, you know, Bielik at the base and then two energetic midfielders either side of him, two wingers who will like to come inside, and then, yeah, lone striker up top. You know, I think the fullbacks will be really important. I think, you know, Longuello and Cody Drame have done a really good job since stepping in for Buchanan and Laird. But I think those two in particular, obviously Buchanan having previously worked with Rooney at Derby, and Laird will really relish playing in a Rooney team who likes to utilise his fullbacks and get them nice and high up the pitch. I think that will suit both of them.
Now, Ben, we know that you've got to shoot off, so we won't keep you any longer. But one last thing from you, mate. Nail your colours to the mast. How's it going to pan out?
Over what term are we talking? The rest of the season, or do you want me to look further into the crystal ball?
Go on for the rest of the season.
I think we finish 13th. I think the run of games that Rooney has to start with are going to be really tough. I think those first five games or so are going to be really, really difficult. I think we'll drop down the table a little bit to begin with. I don't think anybody needs to lose their marbles over that at all. I think when it first got announced that it was Rooney, there was this kind of air around social media that it was going to be a complete disaster and we were going to be relegated and that was going to be that. I don't necessarily buy into that. I think it will take some time because I think he will come in and try to change the style to some degree. That's clearly the remit that he's been given. That will take some adapting, but I think there's enough quality in the group to see us around mid-table.
That's fair. What we'll do is we'll get you back on after the January transfer window to see if you change your mind on any of that as well.
What do you mean when we've signed Jesse Lingard and whoever else? David De Gea has come in.
We're not going. I told you, Louis Sibley, it's happening.
Ben, thank you very much for joining us, mate.
No, absolute pleasure.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Thank you very much for having me back on, guys.
Anytime. Speak to you soon.
See you later.
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys.
Right. One of the things which has come up on social is the comparison to a decade ago, where I think, you know, one of the things which really started our whole managerial merry-go-round for quite a while, the transition to from Rowett to someone you were pretty excited about, Matthew.
Yeah, Gianfranco Zola.
How excited were you?
Given what I knew quite a lot about the...
I'd absolutely get my dong out. I'd just swing that dong out the door.
That's how excited he was.
I was swinging it around. Given what I knew about Gary Rowett at the time and, you know, the fact that he had been talking to other suitors and had rejected the contract offered to him, when they brought Zola in, I was quite excited because, you know, I think a lot of people have become a little bit bored with, some people have been bored with Gary Rowett's style of play, quite kind of pedestrian. That was defensive. That was a defensive style of play. Not similar to how John Eustace plays. Not really similar anyway. So I was quite excited about that. I'm less excited about the Rooney thing, but I am becoming more positive about it. The thing about the Zola comparisons we're seeing quite a lot of is, oh, these new owners know exactly what they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the thing that makes me laugh here is obviously, well, this doesn't make me laugh, but the Chinese at that point were supposed to be clueless and have no idea about football. Okay, yeah, there's the thing about doing the interview with Zola and asking him to sign an autograph whilst they're doing it. and all that side of stuff. But there was a valid reason to sack Rowett at that point. Okay, yes, we were sent from the league, but he had been, you know, punting himself about.
Football wasn't great, as you've just mentioned.
The football wasn't great. They wanted to bring someone in who had experience of managing in the Premier League. It's already had promotion from the Championship with Watford. So they replaced him with someone who really had some form of
credentials.
He didn't have the players to do what he wanted to do. They tried to buy the players to do what he wanted to do, and they couldn't get all the players he wanted to do. If we'd got Rennie Corinne, it might have been a different story.
Also, Gary, sorry, just to jump in there. Also, for a long time, people forget this about Zola. For a long time, we played some really good stuff and we were unlucky. There were long periods of games where you could see a transition, and then it got to a point where players just lost belief that it was going to actually pay off. And that's when the decline came.
The heads definitely dropped there. With this sacking appointment, the Gary Cook is a football man. He knows football, you know, but he's brought in somebody that doesn't really have a great track record from the managerial point of view. So I think the comparisons, I get why they're there, but really it's just chalk and cheese, isn't it? And it's quite, when you actually dig into the detail a little bit more, I don't really know what I'm trying to say now.
I can tell you what you're going to say. Didn't you growing a beard actually directly relate to either the appointment or sacking of one of our managers?
Lee Clark. We hadn't won at home for like a whole season or something, like, or like 20 games. I can't remember what it was. Like half a season. And I said I wasn't going to shave again until we won at home. And basically what happened was we went the whole season, and then I think we then obviously had the summer pre-season, et cetera. And then we won our first game back. But by that point, my other half was just like, no, keep the beard. I like it. Probably because she didn't like the rest of my face. But, but hey, there we go. Anyway, yeah, the Zola thing, just the Zola comparison sort of made me laugh, because whilst, you know, there are some similarities there, that actually he came in with a bit of a track record. But, you know, Rooney's got much better players to work with. So, you know, I'm warming to it now. One of the things I have noticed with this whole Wayne Rooney, John Eustace thing is, after all the good work the new owners have done, or the good feeling, and this will go away, this will go away, there seems to be a bit of a division in the fan base again. And there's been a little bit of toxicity, I think, in some cases. Like
some of that has waned slightly. Some of that has waned slightly since the announcement has been made, and I think people that were originally against it and were saying it's not on, it's not right, da, 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 have now gone, do you know what, we need to just get on with it, move forward. And I think a lot of people, there's still a few that are maybe not happy about it. Some people saying, we'll throw our season ticket back. How do we return the season ticket? We're going to make a petition that we don't want Rooney.
Brilliant. That's just what we need. Another petition, which 150 people sign. That'll tell.
I get that you're not happy about it, but these guys have put millions and millions of pounds in, and if they want to change the manager and bring their own man in, they're more than entitled to, unfortunately.
It's technically their club, right? Yeah. They can do that stuff. They've made that decision. What that decision was based on is more of where my head's at with that's what I question. I don't think as much thought was put into that as maybe probably should have been. Already touched on that. And I'm not anti-Rooney at all. Like, I'm excited about what it could bring the club as a whole. I'm excited about what he might be able to do. The coaching, we haven't even touched on his coaching team. You know, you've got Ashley Cole and John O'Shea there, you know, who were mainstays in very successful Premier League teams for such a long time. John O'Shea even played in goal for a game. You know, he's played pretty much everywhere. Both have coaching experience in the Championship and international. Obviously, he's got Carl Robinson and Pete Shotworth, who used to be back at Blues, and Mike Taylor staying as well. So I'm not anti-Rooney. I am pro-John Eustace, but, you know, as you say, we have got to move on now. He did a very, very good job. He will get another job very quickly. We've already spoken about a couple of clubs that potentially he could end up going to. I'm interested to see how things pan out and where we go from here. These first few games of Rooney's tenure are going to be really interesting and are really, really going to be really, really tough. So I'm keen to see how it plays out. I'm like you, I'm still skeptical though, in terms of, I don't know whether this is the right appointment, but you know, he's aligned with, you know, the board of directors and the club and where they want to go.
I think that's just going to be a case of, we'll see. We've just got to wait and see whether it works out, unfortunately.
And that's something, I mean, talking about, there was a comment in one of the statements, it was the second statement that came out, the letter to fans, that they wanted to create a brand of football across all Birmingham City's teams. Why is Darren Carter still in a job?
Well,
I'll be honest, I don't really care that much about the women's team, but that's just me. That isn't anything to do with, I just don't have that much of an interest in the women's team. But I'm not, I know that he's not been doing well, and they haven't been getting the points that they were expected to get, and the performances haven't been there.
Maybe
is he still in the job?
Maybe they're just waiting for Phil Neville.
Maybe. Wayne will put in a good word for him, maybe.
Genuinely don't know whether he's available.
Well, didn't we say Colleen Rooney might take on the women's team anyway?
So. Oh, imagine. So,
could happen.
Absolutely no credentials.
I'm not here promoting that we should be going to set.
You've just reminded me, saying Colleen.
Go on.
Half-time entertainment against Leicester. Set the ring up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Come on.
That could, the Rebecca Vardy derby. That could be a, but
well,
that could
we,
be,
we don't
that
have anything at half time now, do we? So
we'll have that. Know,
we are currently void of any half time entertainment. So
that is December 16th.
If each 15 minutes we could get Colleen basically to call someone out and take them on at half time. I don't know who the most famous Middlesbrough wag is, but
Who knows?
No idea.
Who knows? Where was I going with that? Yeah, I wasn't promoting for Darren Carter to be fired, by the way. But, you know, if you're looking at underperformance, you know, I don't really know what style of football they play, but it isn't a winning brand at the moment, is it? And I think they've invested quite a bit of money into that women's team, from what I understand. They've brought in some quite good players, and they seem to be underachieving at the moment. So
yeah, but, you know, it's like you said, you're not calling for his head.
No, absolutely
because
not.
You've got little interest in it. But if that's what you're using as a reason, then how come the team that is actually performing has had their manager sacked? But we know that, and it's with the greatest of respect to everyone involved at the club, the main reason that they bought the team is because of the men's team, and that will be the one that they prioritise. And
that's the one that will monetise everything.
Yeah, and I just think that it's that opening the opportunity at the right time for them to bring this name in. And like you said earlier, Cook's probably said, I can get Rooney, I can get him here, he's a name in America, da 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 da, all works out. And I imagine that that's like the crux.
Links to Nike, etc. How do we think the players feel about both? So firstly about John Eustace going, and then Wayne Rooney coming in, because they were very close, tight-knit group of players who all bought into John Eustace. A handful of them came to blues because of John Eustace. They may or may not have known that the writing was on the wall at some point. The general consensus seems to be they were quite shocked hearing about it. And I think a few of the players have been, from what I understand, have been a little bit shocked and a little bit upset. I've already seen a few players post stuff on social media, just, you know, thanking him, essentially. How do they feel? How are they going to react?
Well, we got a message, didn't we, that said that the players are actually quite positive about Rooney. I can imagine, and I don't know this, but I can imagine that a few of the players, or a lot of the players, because we know that the players liked him, respected him, and there was a good feeling around the squad, that they're probably a little bit disappointed, as some of the fans are. But ultimately, as a footballer, if you've got Wayne Rooney coming in, and it will have the same sort of feeling, I think, as the Zola effect did at first. You've got a big name that's coming in, and you'll respect that person straight away. And if it doesn't work out, then you might lose that respect. But I think he's earned respect in football. I'm not 100% sure on his management career, but it's not terrible. It's not been a farce. He was respected for what he did at Derby. It wasn't.
The players actually quite liked him as well, from what I understand. He was quite well respected by all the players.
One of my favourite things from the DC team, I don't know if you saw this, but Wayne Rooney said to the lads in the DC dressing room about him having the smallest penis. Did you see that tweet?
No, I didn't. I saw something about you saying it.
Yeah. So it was very funny. Apparently he addressed the team, and I think he was telling them about obstacles that they've got to overcome and whatever else. And he said, lads, you know, I've got a tiny penis or something. That this could be completely false now, and it's just someone absolutely taking the piss.
I thought you were going to go on to us now speculating about the current Birmingham starting 11.
The only thing that I know now is that I haven't got to worry about having the smallest penis in St Andrews.
Well, you should probably ask him for a measuring contest and just see.
Again, I come back to the fact we're still missing half-time entertainment.
Well, there's another one to add on to the list.
We'll get it.
Sure. Half-time dick swinging competition. Brilliant.
I wish I'd known he was going to join Blues when he sat across from me in Wings Restaurant in Manchester. I feel disappointed.
It's actually your fault.
Is this actually my fault? Yeah, tapped him up whilst eating some satay chicken.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
Right then, let's wrap it up.
So, yeah, quick one. I mean, how many M's are we going to have
in tomorrow's press conference?
In tomorrow's press conference, which we will recap in a few days, I think, after weekend, maybe.
Can I just say, this is the one thing that I'm dreading about Wayne Rooney being at Blues.
Press conference.
Yeah.
He's his bit in the on the announcement was very well written by his agent, wasn't it? I thought really well done.
Do you mean that wasn't wasn't him?
Ah, well, you know, we'll see what he has to say tomorrow. How many M's do we reckon? So it's going to be Gary Cook and Wayne Rooney press conference. I think Gary Cook's going to be answering questions as well on both Rooney and possibly John Eustace sacking. So be interesting to see. I imagine Gary Cook won't have any ums.
He might have some.
I mean, how many times will he say no fear? Well, he might even buy a no fear t-shirt with a fucking surfboard on it or something.
Right. Let's just look at Rooney. Let's just look at Rooney.
So sick.
How many ums?
Okay, sorry.
How many ums?
Okay, I'm going for 30.
I think you're low there. I think you're too low. I think you'll get 30 in the first sentence. Chewy.
Right. So what do you reckon? It'd be about 20 minutes. I'm going to go... I don't think Dave's far off. I'm going to go 35.
I'm going to go 36 then, because I actually think it's probably... I think it's going to be like 90 plus. It might right, like three figures, but... Yeah, no.
Can we employ someone to count this? Or are we all going to, or do we, can we all count and then we have to get an independent adjudicator to just tot it up after us as well?
I'm sure people will let us know. I'm sure someone will count it. But yeah, we'll count it.
So on.
Sounds like a new Twitter account purely dedicated to
Rooney's Urns.
Rooney's press conference.
Twitter.
Yeah.
So, quick little predictions as well.
Did you mean to do that?
What was that? What do we expect short term from Rooney? Obviously, we asked Ben. What do we expect from Rooney short term?
I don't think too much will change. I don't think that the team will change too much. I think, as he said, the formation, I think we might see us go wider a bit more and not have that imbalanced wing back look.
Lopsided.
Yeah. every fucking time now. Shit, I didn't mean to do that. I just think we'll play similar to how we have been until he has a bit of time on the training pitch with the lads and figures out a tweak to the style that we're playing. I think the system will stick pretty much. And I'm hoping that I've done it again. It's in my head now. Yeah, I think we'll do all right. I think we'll do all right. Mid table.
Five games coming up that we briefly discussed, you know, are going to be quite the baptism of fire for him. 15 points. Is it how many do we think we're going to come away with?
I'm not going to say 15 points. 15 points up for grabs. I'm going to go for 7.5. maybe 8. 8. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to go for 8.
So as a quick look, I reckon...
Are you going to go through the fixtures?
Middlesbrough just fine on their feet again, aren't they? They seem to found some form now, seem to be scoring goals. I think a draw there maybe will beat.
I think we'll win at Middlesbrough.
Oh, interesting. Lose to Southampton. Oh, that's a lunch. Is that a lunchtime kickoff? The Southampton one.
Yeah, 12:30. They moved it.
Ooh, I'm actually in England for that. I might see if I can get away with watching that. And then we're at home to Ipswich, which I think will be a difficult game. I'm going to go 5 points.
Vegan?
I'm going to go 6. I'm going to go 6.
So I've been the most optimistic out of this.
Which you're 4-0 everyone. 4-0 for each game.
No, not anymore. That's like that 4-1.
Is this a new era now? You're not going for the 4-0 anymore?
New era.
Yeah.
New era, mate. Yeah.
Okay, another question. Another question.
Last one then.
Is Rooney going to be here at the end of the season?
Head.
I think
head,
he will.
Head or heart?
Which part of him?
No. I'm hoping he's going to be there in his entirety.
Just his head on a spike.
Let's say yes.
I think, yes, I think he will be.
The start to the season that we've had, I think it'd have to like go ridiculously bad not to.
It'd have to be go to. I think you're right. It'd have to be, you know, plummeting towards relegation for it to.
QPR levels of bad to.
I think as long as they've. And we said this about the whole Eustace thing as well. As long as we're seeing, or as long as they see something that's acceptable on the pitch in terms of this new brand of football, and that ain't going to happen overnight. It's just going to, as you said, it's going to be tweaks. It's going to be little minor details and changes, and they'll probably evolve that fairly slowly. Because they've got to try and keep that solid basis where you can play no fear football, but you're not going to win games if you're going to concede bucket loads. We'll end up like that Blackburn team from last season where we will win 5-0 one week and lose 4-0 the next week, you know. So yeah, I mean, I think they've invested quite a lot in this. They're obviously going to give him a lot of money. They've given him a lot of money to come and join us. His backroom staff are going to be on decent money. They're going to pump money into, or what, at least they'll pump money into what they can in January to back him as well, because he won't come here on the premise that he's getting no money to spend in January. Apparently they've already discussed targets. They've got two or three players in mind of who they want to try and bring in. He will be here at the end of the season. It's going to have to go abysmally for him to not be here. And, you know, I've come around to it. I'm still not completely sold, but I can sort of see. This is the best team he will have worked with. We said that with Ben as well. Best players he's had for a while. They're only going to strengthen the squad. You know, there's a very good chance, you know, we could really kick on here if we do things properly.
Well, it's going to be. Let's hope so. That's the.
It's still about consolidation and stability for me in this league, and that's why I was probably most annoyed that we let Eustace go, because we've had so many years of just being absolutely dog shit that the first season actually looked like we could be moving somewhere in the right direction, becoming a little bit more. Getting a bit more stability and just consolidating ourselves in the league, it just seemed like such a poor decision. But, you know, that can continue. They've made a decision. He can take us to that net. Hopefully, Rooney can take us to the next step now. So, you know, I guess there's not much else to say there other than party on, Wayne.
That's a very nice one. Right. Enjoy the press conference. Enjoy counting all the M's, and we'll be back next week, will we?
Do an early, I'm out for my birthday next Wednesday, so if we can get an early one in just to maybe recap the press conference and look forward to the Middlesbrough game.
Yep.
That would be...
How old will he be?
Marginally older than you. And you.
Right. We'll see you next week. Up the Wayne Rooney's Birmingham City. And until next week, keep right on.
Wayne's World, party time, excellent. Keep right on.
Keep right on.